Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello, friends. This is Dr. Eric Stansberry, welcoming you today to Restoration. So excited and glad that you're joining us today, and cannot wait to get into God's Word with you and to share with you in song. So let somebody know that we're here, and join us whether it's live on the podcast, on Facebook or YouTube, or whether you join us on your favorite podcasting app. Let somebody know that it's time for restoration. These are the words of the song that says very simply, "It's my desire." It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, 35 through 39, and then we're going to be in Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Let's get started. We're looking at the life, understanding the life of faith. Understanding the life of faith. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God in divine things and holy fervor, born of faith and conjoined with it. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery, perdition, and are eternally, utterly destroyed, but we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul. Here was a group of believers who was ready to quit. They walked as far as they can walk. They don't know how much has happened more in their life. They're just tired. Many of them have lost everything that they've ever had, and they don't know what to do. So the writer of the book here says, first of all, don't throw away your confidence like you would a ball. Don't throw it away. Instead, he says, remember some things. He says, first of all, remember that God has a reward for his people. You could render this verse 35 like this. I know what you've done to serve me. I am aware of the time, energy, effort, and work and money you have spent to do the job that I sent you to do. Go ahead and tally up what is owed to you and boldly declare that you will be reimbursed. I will see to it that you get everything you spent along the way. And you'll get everything that you spent and have been declaring by faith. He's telling them that what you think you've lost, I'll restore. What you've given up, I'll restore. And then, because as long as you're declaring, as long as you're my child, I'll take care of you. In Colossians 3 and 24, knowing with all certainty, Paul says, that it's from the Lord, not from men, that you'll receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. He says here very simply that Christ is going to be our reward. He will be the one to grant us the things that we need, the reward that's coming to us. Men may be the vessel that he uses, but it'll always be through Christ. Notice what he says in Mark chapter 4 and 24. He says, pay attention to what you hear, because by your own standard of measurement, by the degree that you extend that you apply spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you, be given you even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. What he's saying there, be careful what you let speak into your life. If you allow fear, if you allow doubt, if you allow anything but God's word to speak into your life, that's what you will get. But if you're allowing his word to speak into you, then, that's the key, then you're going to find that he'll double up and he'll give you more room to contain. As in Ephesians 3, you'll know the length, the depth, the height, and the width of what God has for you. In James chapter 1, because he says the second thing is be a do God's word and fulfill God's will. In James chapter 1, you read, this is a very familiar passage of scripture in verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. For if any man only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God. Why? In what he does in his life of obedience. So to understand, he wants you not to just to hear his word, but to actively do it in your life. We can see a direct application of this in Romans chapter 12. It's a very familiar verse of scripture, verses 1 through 6, that starts with the very familiar words, I beseech you therefore, brother, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of service. What he was saying there very simply is, one, present your body on God's altar. In other words, you give God everything through Christ Jesus and him crucified. Because if God has the vessel, has the outward, he has everything that this vessel contains. Once that you've given yourself completely to God, once you've laid yourself on the altar, then begins the process of the renewing of your mind so that you're no longer conformed to this world, but you're transformed. Your mind, because as you think different, you act different, you talk different, you speak differently. And that's what he's trying to get all of us to, is to get to that place that we are acting and thinking differently, because as we begin to see things from his perspective, then as we think different, we move on, because now with our mind renewed, we can begin to receive and grow in faith, grow in God's will. Because he goes on to say, so that you can prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. The good is when we're starting off. You make mistakes, you trip, you fall, but as you grow in grace, eventually we all could get to the point of walking in the absolute dead center of the perfect will of God, because we have ears to hear, to receive, and to do. As we discover God's will in our lives, we find the faith that we know what we need. Verse 3 says that every man has been given a measure of faith. That as we begin to experience God's will in our lives, we will find the faith that we need to do what he's called us to do. And once we begin to discover God's will, he says that we're all parts of one body, then we find our place in that. We may be a hand, a finger, what different things and sundry things, but then we become what God has called us to do, and we fit where he wants us to fit. Then as we fit, verse 5 through 6 tells us that once we've got to that place, then we begin to work in our function in our gifts. If we prophesy, we prophesy according to the amount of our faith, to the proportion of our faith. So he's trying to get across that as we begin to give ourselves over into this life of faith, we will walk in a different place. We will be into a different place. So that means that there are three things that makes the simple life of faith that we need to grasp before we move on into chapter 11. One is that faith is simply the response to what God has already said. And let me give you the example. It says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. It is we accept by faith that we're saved. Every person on the planet has the opportunity to be saved. That gift is out there. They get to choose whether to receive the gift or not. Also, if you look at healing, it's written in the past tense. If you look at anything, that any of the promises of God are written basically in the past tense, meaning he's done everything. Christ did everything. It's all paid for. It's taken care of. We have to get to the place that we're willing to accept that gift into our lives. That's faith. The second thing, unless our mind is renewed, we can't receive. You know, these phones that we have, these devices, they automatically connect to Wi-Fi if they have the password. If we are alive in Christ, we have the password. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. It connects us to the Father through the Holy Spirit. That means we're always connected to, if you will, heaven's Wi-Fi. We can receive downloads. We can begin to receive if we have ears to hear, if we've attuned our ears to hear what he's trying to say to us. Faith is seeing things manifest in the Spirit before you ever see what is happening in the natural, because it's promised in God's Word. That means as you look, you begin to understand that God has it together. He has it for me. And that these men had the idea, these were the promises of God, I'm hanging on to them. So as we move, because we're not those people that give up, we don't throw away our confidence, it moves us down to Hebrews 11 and 1. Notice what it says. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real. Faith perceiving what is real, what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. So that we see what we see was not made out of things which are visible. When I was in college a long time ago, Dr. John Sims was my theology professor. And the first thing that he taught us when we began looking at the creation of the world is that God simply spoke and everything came. He said, let there be, and there was. There wasn't, he flung out stars and we dug out canyons. He said, let there be, and there was. So there are two words I want to focus in the original language. The first one is pistis. It's a word for faith. What that means is it's the belief in the character of God that he will do what he says he will do. The word for assurance is it's a fixed decision. is one that will be unmoving, will stay or stand by a person, a principle, promise, or territory that has been promised. That means once God makes you a promise, you say, I'm hanging on with both hands. I'm hanging on. I'm not letting go. I believe that God has got my answer. And when we get to the place that we say, if it's in the book, if it's promised to me, it is mine, and confess that by faith and begin to speak that into our lives, we'll find that God moves into our lives in a magnificent way. So there are laws that we go with faith. If you have a Bible nearby and you want to go to Mark chapter 24, verse 35, you will see the story, very familiar story, of the woman who had the issue of blood. You know the story. She heard Jesus was coming. She pressed her way through the crowd. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She touched the hem of his garment. Power was released. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, oh, I get it. And then he goes, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made you whole. The idea there is that, first of all, faith comes from hearing God's word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God is what Romans tells us. It means faith comes from hearing and hearing, not that you just heard it sometime in the past. It's active. It's today. You're listening. You're reading. You're studying. The second thing is that you work. You apply yourself. You act on God's word. You begin to speak God's word. You begin to live in God's principles. The third thing is you're committed to those principles. You're going to commit yourself to a life in the word, life studying the word, life cultivating the word in your life. Because believe it or not, your words are powerful. And they will create that you can create a reality for somebody with your words. You can destroy somebody with your words. So words are very powerful. So we have to believe what we speak and speak what we believe. In other words, you don't talk to God about your mountain. You talk to your mountain about your God. You talk to your sickness. You talk to your need. And you're reminded that I am redeemed from the curse. What you meant for evil, God will bring good. When the enemy wants death, God's given you life. When the enemy has brought disease, God has brought you health. When the enemy has brought you poverty, God has brought you the ability to get wealth so that you owe no man but to love him. The idea being that God has already countered every tool of the enemy. But you have to begin to believe what you say. God is waiting on the church today to become receivers of what he's already done. He's already with us. We don't have to beg him to come be in our midst. He's already there. He's already done it. And friend, faith is saying, I believe what God said. So you need to understand that the second thing is that faith gives hope. Faith gives hope to give substance to hope. Notice if you will in Romans chapter 4. Verse 16, it says, for this reason, by faith, in order that he may be based on grace, so that the promise might be firm, secure, and certain, talking about Abraham, to all the seed, not to the seed of the law, but to the seed of the faith of Abraham. So we know that for us to receive, there has to be something that happens. So notice in verse number 17, as it is written in Scripture, Romans 4, I have made you a father of many nations in the sight of him whom he believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls into those things that do not exist, but he calls them into being. In hope against hope, Abraham believed he would become the father of many nations as he had been promised by God. And in verse 20, he says, but he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced, there's that assurance again, that God had the power to do what he had promised. You and I need to get this in our lives. Whatever you're hoping for, if it's in God's word, you can have faith to begin to declare that into your life until it manifests. The Bible says that we ask amiss because we're asking according to God's will. God's will is clearly spelled out for you in his word. And if you'll begin to thank and praise him for what he's already done and begin to start where you are, confessing scripture, begin, Lord, I have been set free. I'm redeemed from the curse. And you begin declaring those things in your life, believing that God's word is true. What you will find happening in your life, through your life, is that your life will be changed. The second thing is that faith operates on a seed principle. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6, the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if you can have the faith of a seed of mustard, you can say to this tree, get up and go, and it will go. The idea being that you cultivate seed. What is the seed? It's the incorruptible word of God. It is the seed. What waters the seed is the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to hear and let that water up in your life and begin to change your life, you will find very quickly, very efficiently, that things change and you will have growth in your life. Start where you are and cultivate it. Water it with the water of the Word through the Holy Spirit. Keep hearing, keep listening, keep praying, keep hearing, keep listening, keep praying, and you will receive that harvest. That's why we know that the elders received this same testimony, because they hung on to the promises of God. Abraham became the father of many nations by hanging on to the promises of God. And we'll go through and begin to see in Hebrews 11, those who got their promises because they hung on to what God had told them. The entire universe, we are told, is held together by God's word. Colossians 1 and verse 17, and he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. You say, Eric, what are you saying? I'm saying very clearly this, is that when we begin to understand that God has already given us what we need, he holds the universe together. It's his word that holds it together. And if you're bringing his word into your life through study, through prayer, through teaching, like this podcast, like other podcasts and videos that are out there, and you begin to dig into the word, I promise you that seed will begin to cultivate itself. And as it cultivates itself, it will begin to produce a harvest. And remember that a seed, one kernel of corn will grow an ear of corn, which will have, or several ears of corn, that have between 500 and 600 other ears of corn. When Jesus told the story of the sower, he said some 30, some 60, and some 100. It comes down to that cultivation. What kind of soil are you giving it? So I'm asking you today, my friend, are you living the life of faith? If you've not been saved, today can be your day, because by faith, by grace, are you saved through faith. You can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he can bring you into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, if there's someone who's listening to this today that does not know you are in the free pardon of sin, let today be that day that you set them free, that they will declare in their heart and life that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you raised him from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession. He has a name that is above every name. The Lord, come into their life and change them. And if that's you today, would you please email me and let me know that you prayed that prayer, or that you've asked Jesus into your life. If you have a need, email me, pastorstansbury@gmail.com. I'll join my faith with you. But I believe that if you can begin to understand and walk the life of faith as revealed in Scripture, it's going to change your life. And it's going to change your life in such a way that you'll only be able to say, God has restored what the enemy took. I'll be right back. Friend, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you and that free pardon of sin, that free pardon of what you have for them, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that today they'll say, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that he is changing my life. He's renewing my mind right now. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. If that was you today, would you please reach out to our ministry at pastorstansbury@gmail.com so that we can get some materials in your hand to help you walk by faith. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, our YouTube channel, so more people can hear the word of restoration. Also, pray about becoming a partner with this ministry so that we can reach more people for Christ. We're in the process of upgrading everything, and if you're enjoying what you're seeing, please feel free to email me also at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. Thank you so much for coming. Don't forget, grace and peace be multiplied to you, because God has your restoration. Have a great
day. Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.